Amen. All right, well, we're there in Psalm 25. And of course, on Wednesday night, we've been making our way through the book of Psalms. And we are taking one psalm a week, and we find ourselves tonight here in Psalm 25. And of course, as we've been studying the book of Psalms, we've been making a note of the fact that these psalms are, they have different characteristics. They all have similar characteristics, but one of the things that I've been pointing out for you is that, of course, the psalms are music. They are songs that are written by different musicians, many of them, most of them by David. And of course, the book of Psalms was in some ways almost like the hymn book of the children of Israel. And these were psalms that would be sung corporately in worship. And of course, we know that these are scripture. The Bible tells us that David spake that the Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David. And we know that Psalm 25 is not just, and all of these psalms are not just songs, but they're scripture as well. And one thing that we've been noticing is that they're also prayers. And these psalms are prayers that David is praying, the different men are praying. So when we read these psalms, we should read them with that understanding, that they are music, they are scripture, of course, and they are prayers. And of course, they're originally written in Hebrew. So for us, most of the time, we don't really see the musical aspect of it. There are some psalms that are put to music. And actually, this psalm, Psalm 25, is one of those psalms that is put to music. Verses 1 and 2, if you notice there, Psalm 25, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, a psalm of David, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. When I was a kid, there was a song that would be sung from these two verses from our King James Bible. In fact, I can't read these verses without having that tune play in my mind. And so in this particular psalm, not only was it a song in Hebrew, it's also a song in English. And it's a little chorus that's taken from these two verses. And the chorus, if you ever hear it, or if you've heard it, you'll notice that it echoes. It repeats lines and it echoes, kind of like when we sing It Is Well with My Soul. And of course, you've got the It Is Well and then the It Is Well and With My Soul and With My Soul, you've got the echo. But this psalm, it goes like this. I'll just sing it for you so you can be aware of it. It goes, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Oh, my God, and the echo is, oh, my God, I trust in thee, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. So it's a beautiful little song that is put to these verses. And what I like about when the psalms are put to music is that it's easy to remember them. Music is powerful in that way, in the sense that we can remember things when they are put to music. And this is a beautiful psalm, of course. These words are very well-known words in regards to David, not only because they're music and they're beautiful music, but also because they're a prayer. And what David is doing is he's putting these words to music, and he is praying this song unto the Lord. And one thing I want you to notice from this psalm, and I'm just showing you this by way of introduction, is that this psalm was written during a time of trouble in David's life. Now, we don't know exactly when that was, and it's hard to kind of pin down, because the thing about David is that there was lots of times of trouble in his life. If you're familiar with the life of David, he was a warrior, and there was many times when he found himself in trouble. But I want to highlight for you, if you notice there in verse 2, he says, oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. And I want you to notice these words. He says, let not mine enemies triumph over me. So I want you to notice that this is at a time when he's got some enemies coming against him, and there is this doubt, maybe, that they might triumph against him. If you look down at verse number 16, we're going to go through the whole psalm here in a minute, but just so you can see the context. In verse 16, the Bible says, turn thee unto me, this is David speaking, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me. Notice these words. He says, for I am desolate and afflicted. In verse 17, he says this, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. He He says, "Oh, bring thou me out of," notice these words, "my distress." Verse 18, he says, "Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins." Look at verse 19. "Consider," he says, "mine enemies." Notice what he says about his enemies. He says, "For they are many, and they that hate me with cruel hatred." The psalm ends in verse 22 with David saying, "Redeem Israel, O God." Notice the words that end this psalm. He says, "out of all his troubles." And what I want you to see is that this psalm, Psalm 25, is written to us, though we don't know for sure when. We know that it's written during a time of trouble in David's life. He ends by saying, "Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." So here's what we see is this prayer that is given in a time of trouble. And what we learn from Psalm 25 is what to do in times of trouble. And what we really learn is how to pray in times of trouble. But when we see David's prayer, it teaches us what to do in times of trouble. And here's what I've noticed as my wife and I for the last 14 years have ministered to people and shepherded people. I've noticed that people tend to make a lot of mistakes during times of trouble. And when things get difficult in life, when there's tension, when there's stress, they do a lot of stupid things. We tend to do some stupid things. And I think this psalm is helpful in the sense that it gives us, from David, the man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel, and from the Holy Spirit of God, it teaches us what to do and how to pray in times of trouble. So if you ever find yourself in times of trouble, which I'm sure you will, if you ever find yourself when things aren't going well, this would be a good psalm to reference. This would be a good psalm to read through and to pray through in times of trouble. Let me give you four thoughts this evening that we find from this psalm in regards to what to do in times of trouble, how to pray in times of trouble. What is it appropriate to do? What is it appropriate to pray? And there's four things. What this psalm is, it's a psalm of plea. It's David pleading for help. He's asking the Lord for help. And there's four things that we see David cry to God for help. And if you'd like, maybe you can jot these down. On the back of your course of the week, there's a place for you to write down some notes, and maybe you can do that. Number one, I want you to notice, if you notice there again, verse 1, it says a psalm of David, "Unto thee, O Lord," I want you to notice this phrase, David says, "do I lift up my soul?" And the idea there when David says, "do I lift up my soul," that phrase of lifting up my soul, it is an act of offering. It is an act of surrender. He is offering in the same way that you might offer a sacrifice. In the Old Testament, there was a wave offering that would be sacrificed and then waved unto the Lord, offered unto the Lord. David is doing that, but with his soul, with himself. He's declaring this unto the Lord. He says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." And what he's stating here is an act of offering himself, of surrendering himself, of submitting himself unto the Lord. And notice that this requires faith. It requires trust. Verse 2, he says, "O my God, I trust in thee." And I would submit to you tonight that the reason that we often don't surrender ourselves unto the Lord and don't offer ourselves to God and don't completely give ourselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord is because we might not ever say it out loud, but we just don't trust the Lord. Here David says, he prays to the Lord. He says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee." And then I want you to notice why. Why does David say this? What is it that he's praying? Because what David is saying to God is this. He's telling God, "God, I'm on your side. God, I'm with you. If you want to know," because whatever trouble David found himself in, we don't know what the trouble was, but we know that he found himself in some sort of conflict, and it involves some enemies. And David wants to make it clear to the Lord that the Lord knows, that David knows, that he has offered himself unto him. He says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. I am offering myself to you. I am trusting you. O my God, I trust in thee." And what David is saying is, he's saying to God, "God, I'm on your side." Now, David says that because of the request he's about to make. He's about to ask for help, and here's what he says at the end of verse number 2. Notice, he says, "Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." And here we see the first request that David makes. And it's the request that he makes during a time of trouble. He cries out to the Lord. He's crying out for help. And here's what he says, if you'd like to maybe jot this down as a heading. He says, Lord, help me to win. He says, Lord, help me to win. He says, oh my God, I trust in thee. He says, I'm putting my confidence in you. He said, my faith is in you. I am on your side. I'm with you. And then he says, because of that, Lord, let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. And I don't know about you, but for me, this is encouraging because sometimes when I'm going through times of trials and troubles and tribulations, and there are those who are attacking us, enemies from without, and sometimes enemies from within, you feel kind of odd going to God and saying, Lord, will you help me win this? Will you let me win? Will you not allow my enemies to triumph over me? But here, David is showing us that it's okay to go to God and say, Lord, help me win. It's okay to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help. I need you to help me triumph. I need you to not let mine enemies triumph. It's okay to go to God and say, God, I'm claiming this, that if God be for us, who can be against us? And I'm claiming your strength and your power. Lord, help me win. But let us not forget that before we can ask for God's victory, we must offer our submission. Before he could say, Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. He said, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. And that's what gives us the right to say, Lord, I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I am not living for myself. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And when you live your life in that way, then that gives you the right to go to God and say, God, whether you like it or not, you own me and I belong to you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. I want you to highlight that word in verse 2 there, ashamed. The word ashamed in our King James Bible is used in different ways. One way that it's used is in the way that you and I would use it in a modern sense. And when we use the word ashamed today, what we would probably be referring to is some sort of embarrassment, some sort of regret, some sort of guilt. And the Bible definitely uses the word ashamed in that sense, in the sense of not being embarrassed. For example, in the book of Romans, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And what he's saying is, he says, I'm not embarrassed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So it definitely uses that word in that sense. However, there's another way in which the word ashamed is used, and that is the context in which it's being used here. And the way that it's being used here is that the word ashamed means to be disappointed, to be left hanging, to be disappointed by a failure. And actually, that's the way that it's used in Romans also. Paul used it in both ways. If you remember in Romans, he talked about, he that believeth shall not be ashamed. And the word ashamed there is not saying embarrassed. It's saying you're not going to be disappointed. God is not going to disappoint you. Aren't you thankful that there is a God that doesn't disappoint? When others disappoint, men disappoint, family disappoints, fellow church members disappoint, other Christians disappoint, there is a God that does not disappoint. He does not fail. And we're never left wondering and confounded. The word ashamed in that context, when used in that context, is this idea that somebody was expecting something, somebody was expecting someone to show up, to do something, to take care of something, and they fully had every confidence that that would happen, and then it didn't happen. And they're ashamed. There's an expectation that was not met. They were fully confident that it would be met, and now they're disappointed in the failure of that individual. That's the context of the word ashamed here. And when David says, let me not be ashamed, he's not saying, don't let me be embarrassed. There is that connotation to it. But what he's saying is, Lord, do not disappoint. He says, let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. And what we see is David praying that God would allow him to win. It reminds me of, you don't have to turn here, but in 2 Samuel 15, when David is running from, remember, Absalom and his rebellion, and David is told that Ahithophel, who's his counselor, he's told that Ahithophel is with the conspirators. David prays this prayer in 2 Samuel 15:3. He says, "O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." And what we find is this, that when you have offered yourself to the Lord, it's okay to pray for the Lord to help you win. And this is not the first time we see it in the Psalms. It's there several times. Let me just give you one example real quickly. Go to Psalm 13. You're there in Psalm 25. Just turn back to Psalm 13 and look at verse number 4. Psalm 13 and verse 4. In Psalm 13 and verse 4, David said this. Psalm 13 and verse 4, he says, "Lest," the word "lest," we would say "unless." He said, "Lest mine enemies say," and in this psalm, he's asking God for deliverance. He's asking God for assistance. He's asking God to help him. And he says, here's why. "Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." So we see that one thing that you can do and that maybe you should do in times of trouble, when you find yourself under attack, spiritual attack, personal attack, relational attack, when there's enemies coming against you, enemies fighting against you, you say, what should I do in times of trouble? Well, one thing that you can do is to pray that the Lord would help you to win, to not allow your enemies to triumph over you. But remember that before you can pray, "Lord, don't disappoint. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph." Before you can pray that prayer, you need to pray this prayer: "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. I trust in thee. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." And I want you to notice in verse 3, there's two things I'd like you to notice. We're going to look at the second one first. He says, "Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed." We're going to come back to that in a minute. Look at the last part of verse 3. He's talking about his enemies, and he's talking about being ashamed. He just got done saying in verse 2, "Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." And then in verse 3, he says this, "Let them be ashamed which transgress." And I want you to notice these words, "without cause." Probably one of the hardest things to deal with in life when we're dealing with conflict is when you are under attack, and it's rare, but when it happens and you say, "I'm being attacked here without a cause." And it's interesting to me that David brings this up. He brings this up here and he brings it in other psalms. And honestly, there would have been a time in my life where I would have maybe read this and not thought anything of it. But now it stands out to me every time I see it, because of the fact that there's no new thing under the sun. And there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And it's always interesting to me. And look, in life, you might experience this. Definitely, if you ever go in the ministry, or if you just get involved in serving people and investing in people, it's just always interesting to me. I understand getting attacked by people that are hostile towards us, and maybe we're hostile towards them, and there has been maybe some going back and forth there. What's always interesting to me is when someone takes a swing at us, spiritually speaking, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't even know who this person is. Not only have I never harmed this individual, I don't even know who this is. And it's always an interesting thought when you're praying for a fight and you're thinking to yourself, "Lord, this individual is attacking us without a cause." Not only is it sometimes interesting, and I would say difficult, when someone's attacking you that you've never harmed, it's even worse when somebody's attacking you who you've only ever done good to. Someone that you've only ever blessed. Someone that you've only ever been there to help and been there to comfort. You've only ever helped them, and for some weird reason, they've decided to turn against you. That's always a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing when you consider, wow, this person's been, not only have I never said any gossip about them, not only have I never said anything bad about them, I've only ever tried to help them, and they've just been gossiping about me and gossiping about my wife, gossiping about my family, behind our back this whole time. You know, that's a difficult thing. You say, what do you do with that? Well, I would say go to Psalm 25 and say, Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord. O my God, I trust in thee. And Lord, you can pray, and you say, how do you pray through these psalms? You come to these psalms and you pray, let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let not none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. And it's a good place to be when you can get on your knees and open your King James Bible and go to Psalm 25 and read verse 3 and pray to the Lord and say, Lord, you know that not only have I never hurt that individual, I've never done anything but try to help that individual. And Lord, let them not triumph over me. They're attacking us without a cause. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. So we see that one thing that you can do during times of trouble is to pray to the Lord, help me to win. Then I want you to notice the second thing that David teaches us to pray during times of trouble. The first, I think, is something that we would be excited about, and it is this, that it is okay to ask the Lord to help you win. That's okay. Make sure that your heart's right. Make sure that your soul is surrendered unto Him. Make sure that you can say it's without a cause, but you can ask God to help you win. There's a second thing I'd like you to notice. When we see the word there in verse number 3, I want you to see it. He says, yea, let none that, and here's the word, you got to mark it in your Bible. He says, let none that wait. Wait. He says, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. You say, what should you do during times of trouble? Well, in times of trouble, I think, and David thinks, that you should pray. You should pray, help, Lord, help me to win. But here's the second thing you ought to pray during times of trouble, and it is this, Lord, help me to wait. Yea, let none that, notice, wait on thee be ashamed. He said, let me not be ashamed. And then he says, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. We're going to come back to that in a minute. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. Look at the last part of verse 5. He says, on thee do I wait all the day. I want you to notice that one of the smartest things that you can do during times of trouble is wait. In verse 21, he says this, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Notice these words. He says, for I wait on thee. For I wait on thee. Let me just share a couple of verses with you. Maybe you can run to these references. Go to Psalm 46 real quickly. Psalm 46. Oftentimes during times of trouble, during times of attack, during times of tension, this is when people start wanting to move and start trying to do things and make things happen. And this is often when we get ourselves into trouble. And one thing we learn from this psalm is this, that in times of trouble, we should learn to wait. To wait. Now let me just say this, when you talk about wait in the Bible, we're not talking about just wasting time. There is this idea of wait, like don't make a move, don't do anything, don't change anything. But let me just say this, while you're waiting, you ought to be waiting. And you say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, while you're waiting, like waiting on the Lord, you ought to be waiting on the Lord like a waiter. Because the word wait has these different meanings. And I think there's a little bit of a play on words here. Where just like a waiter waits on you. What's a waiter doing? They're waiting for you to leave. Right? Because they want to go home and they need to clean that table and they need to get you out of here. What is a waiter doing? They're waiting on you because you're there and you're eating and they gotta clean that booth. But while they're waiting on you, they're waiting on you. They're serving you. They're taking care of you. They're asking you if you need anything and refilling your drinks and whatever it might be. And the same idea is true. While you're waiting on the Lord, that doesn't mean, oh, well, what am I going to do? Just stay home and watch live streams and do nothing? No, no, no. While you're waiting on the Lord, make sure you're waiting on the Lord. But when it comes to this idea of wait, there's two thoughts that I want you to understand, and it's this. First of all, we ought to wait and see. Are you there in Psalm 46? Look at verse 10. Psalm 46, verse 10, the Bible says this. This is God speaking. Be still and know that I am God. Be still, that's the wait, and know that I am God. What am I waiting for? What am I waiting to see? He says, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. By the way, when God gives you triumph over your enemies, it's not to glorify you, but it's to glorify God through you. He says, I will be exalted. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. But he says, be still and know that I am God. We need to wait and see. What? What are we waiting for? We need to wait on the Lord. And that's not a passing of time. That is a hopeful expectation that God will be exalted. We need to wait and see. But then let me just give you a very practical thought. Go to Exodus real quickly. Exodus chapter 14. Should be fairly easy to find. Genesis, then the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. Look at verse number 13. Wait means you need to stop. Stop. Wait and see. Stop. Wait to see. Be still and know that I am God. But let me just say this. When God says wait, it also means this. Don't move. Don't move. In Exodus 14, 13, the Bible says this, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Look at the words here. It's similar to Psalm 46, 10. Fear ye not. When is Moses talking? What is the context of right now? They are right in front of the Red Sea. It seems like they've been led by the Lord into an ambush. The children of Israel have been brought out of Egypt, and they've been led into the wilderness. The wilderness has encompassed them. The wilderness has surrounded them. They are surrounded by wilderness on either side. They've got the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army coming behind them. And I don't know about you, but when an entire army of the strongest military force on earth at that time is coming to either capture and take you back or kill you, and you can't go to the right, and you can't go to the left, and there's a river, not a river, but a sea in front of you, the Red Sea. This is a time you need somebody to do something. Somebody do something. But the message from God to the children of Israel is, stand still. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still. Why? He says, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And look, here's all I'm telling you. During times of trouble, this is not the time to be making all sorts of changes and all sorts of moves and deciding, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. This is a time when we need to stand still and know that God is God. We need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And oftentimes during times of trouble, people make their troubles even worse because they do not wait. You say, what do I do during times of trouble? Well, here's what you don't do during times of trouble. Don't quit church. Don't quit your job. Don't quit your marriage. Don't quit soul winning. Don't quit Bible. You say, well, you don't understand. I've got all these problems. I've got all these trials. I've got all these things. Wait on the Lord. In times of trouble, you need to pray, Lord, help me to win. But you need to pray, Lord, help me to wait. Because the thing about waiting is that it's an act of faith. It's believing that God is going to lead you through this thing, see you through this thing, help you through this thing. So we can pray, Lord, help me to win. And we can pray, Lord, help me to wait. Why don't you notice the third thing we see in this psalm? And it is this. Notice verse 4. He says, show me. This is during times of trouble. David says, during times of trouble, Lord, here's what I'm asking. Here's my request. Show me, notice these words, thy ways. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Then he says this, teach me, I just want you to notice these words, thy paths. He says, show me thy ways, teach me thy path. Look at verse 5. He says, lead me in thy truth. These are all different ways of saying the same thing. He said, I want you to show me thy ways. I want you to teach me thy path. I want you to lead me in thy truth. He says, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Look at verse 8.
Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Look at verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. One thing that we see here is that during times of trouble, you ought to pray, Lord, help me to win. You ought to pray, Lord, help me to wait. But you also have to pray, Lord, help me to walk. Help me to learn during this time of trouble to walk with you. Show me thy path, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. The meek will he guide. The meek will he teach. See, in times of trouble, you say, what are times of trouble for? One of the, probably the greatest things that can happen during times of trouble, and probably one of the reasons why God allows trouble into our life, is because times of trouble are times to get close to God. They're times to draw close to God. I mean, let's just be honest. God probably wouldn't hear a lot of prayers from you if he didn't allow some things in your life that drove you to pray. And during times of trouble, we need to take this as a time to get close to God. Here David says, show me thy ways, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth. He says, teach me. He says, the meek will he guide, the meek will he teach. It is, he says, I want to walk with God. So we ought to pray, help me to win, help me to wait, and help me to walk. Help me to walk with you, Lord. In Psalm 119, if you want to flip there real quickly, you're there in Psalm 25. Psalm 119, of course, the great famous psalm on the Word of God. Why don't you notice what Psalm 119:71 says? Psalm 119:71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Here the psalmist is saying, it's good that I've gone through trouble. It's good that I've gone through trials. It's good that I've gone through difficulty. Why? He says, it is good for me that I've been afflicted. Notice these words. He says, that I might learn thy statutes. And look, it's just, it's a theme in the Bible. The children of Israel, you had Jacob and his 12 sons and their families, and they're multiplying, and they've got 70 souls, but when they go down to Egypt and they get put into slavery, they multiply into a nation. You've got in the New Testament, the apostles are commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and they're doing a little soul winning here and there, but when persecution comes, they go out and the gospel spreads. And there's just something about times of trouble that can either cause you to do something really stupid and get out of the will of God completely, or it can cause you to get on fire for God. So you should say, Lord, help me to walk with you. Times of trouble are times to get close to God. Notice, if you go back to Psalm 25, look at verse 10. God talks about the fact that he reveals himself in a special way during times of trouble. Notice Psalm 25, verse 10, he says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenants and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. We'll come back to that. Look at verse 12. He says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him, notice what the Bible says, shall he teach in the way. See, the Bible tells us there's certain people that God's going to teach in the way. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way. What he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. Look at verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with him that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. You say, what is this talking about? It's talking about a couple things that I want you to notice. Go to John, if you would. John chapter 7 in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Couple things that I want you to notice. First of all, it's talking about the fact that it is in the time of trouble, it is in the chaos of trouble that we get to know God better. I've used this illustration many times. I think it's a perfect illustration to help us understand this. But if you remember the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were threatened that they were going to get thrown into the fiery furnace, and of course they make those declarations of faith, and they say that they don't have to think about it, they don't have to pray about it. They said, we are not going to bow, O Nebuchadnezzar. They said, our God is able to deliver us. And then they say, and if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow. And of course, you and I if we ever find ourselves in a situation like that, where we're being threatened to get thrown into the fire, we're being threatened to be given some sort of a punishment or something that we don't want to go through, we constantly are praying, Lord, help us circumvent that. Lord, help us not go through that. We would be praying, Lord, help us not to get thrown into the fiery furnace. If we were Daniel, we'd be praying, help me not to get thrown into the lion's den. If we were the Hebrew children, we'd say, help me not to get thrown into the fiery furnace. If we were David, we'd be saying, help me not to fight Goliath. That's what we'd be saying. But it is in the fiery furnace that they were the closest to the Son of God. And if you remember, Nebuchadnezzar says, didn't we throw three into the fire? Why are there four? And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Because the truth is this, that there is something about the time of trouble. Don't waste the opportunity of the time of trouble to draw close to God. Don't do something stupid and get yourself out of the will of God when God's trying to draw you closer to Him. The secret of the Lord is with Him. But I want you to understand another thing, and it is this, that God, I'll say it this way, and I don't know if this is the right way to say it, but I'll just say it. God is not a communist. God is not just across the board fair with everybody. What the Bible tells us here, you're there in John 7. Let me just read to you Psalm 25, 14 again. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. Here's what God says. God says, I reveal more things to some people. Not everyone gets everything. Now, have you ever noticed that there are some Christians that seem to just know more than others? You say, well, God being a respecter of persons. Well, God is no respecter of persons. You've got the same King James Bible that everybody else does. You have the same Holy Spirit that everybody else does. But sometimes it seems like there are some believers that just have a little more insight, have a little more wisdom, have a little more understanding. They do 9 chapters a day just like you do 9 chapters a day. But for some weird reason, when a situation arises, they seem to remember something and know something and apply something that you may not remember or apply or do. And you think, why don't I think of that? And why didn't I think of that verse? And why don't I think of those things? And here's what you need to understand, that God does not reveal Himself the same to everyone. Not every Christian is created equal. By the way, not every church is created equal. John chapter 7 and verse 17, the Bible says this. Look at it. John 7, 17. If any man will do his will, look at it, he shall know of the doctrine. God says the closer you get to Him, the more you follow Him, He says, the more I'll reveal to you, the more I'll use you. The more I'll bless you, the more. And look, you come to Verity Baptist Church, and for some of you, this is the only church you've ever known, and you just don't know, and it's not your fault. But let me tell you something. There are few churches that have as many soul winners that go out as we do. I'm not talking about a church our size with 250 people in it, having 115 people go out on a regular basis. You need to know it's not normal. Most churches don't even go soul winning, and the ones that do go soul winning just struggle. It's like pulling teeth to get 10 people to show up. And the things that are done here, and the salvations that are done here, the baptisms that are done here, and all the things that God has allowed this church to do, you need to know that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. You say, well, why is that? Well, I mean, there's lots of reasons why it is, but I can tell you this. Not many churches are reading 9 chapters a day in the month of January either. Not many churches are doing the things that we're striving to do. Why? Because our desire and your desire ought to be all the time, and especially during times of trouble, to draw near to God. I don't need less God, I need more God. I don't need less Bible, I need more Bible. I don't need less prayer, I need more prayer. God chooses to reveal more to some. You say, well, that's not fair. Take it up with God. He's not fair. But it's true. So you say, what should be done during times of trouble? Well, you should pray, help me to win. You should pray, help me to wait. You should pray, help me to walk. And then lastly, tonight, and I think this should be obvious, but you should pray, help me to withstand. Notice Psalm 25, look at verse 6, and we'll make our way down to the end of the chapter. He says, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies.
and thy loving kindnesses. I like how our King James Bible says, it doesn't say loving kindness, it says loving kindnesses, plural. David's like, I need all I can get. He says, it's interesting to me because David is asking in his petition, Lord, there's some things I want you to remember. And then he's about to say, there's some things I don't want you to remember. He says, Lord, I want you to remember. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Then in verse 7, he says this, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. So he says, Lord, remember thy tender mercy, love, and kindness. Then he says in verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth. And I think probably every person who wasn't living for God in their youth would pray that prayer, remember not the sins of my youth, Lord. And by the way, this is why you need to get your kids connected in church, and this is why you need to get your kids, your teens connected in this youth group and these youth activities. You say, why? Because we're trying to help them minimize the regrets that they'll carry in life for the rest of their lives. But Lord willing, they won't have to pray the prayer, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. And then David says this, according to thy mercy, remember thou me. So he says, don't remember my youth, but when you are remembering mercy, Lord, remember thou me. It reminds me of what the prophet said. He said, in wrath, remember mercy. And he's asking the Lord. What is he asking? He's saying, look at verse 8. He says, good and upright is the Lord. He's flattering the Lord, and it's not a good thing to flatter other people, to manipulate them. You cannot manipulate God. But let me tell you something. It's good to, for lack of better words, flatter the Lord. Do it authentically. Do it in reality. But he says, God, you are good. God, you are upright. Good and upright is the Lord. He said, what is he asking? Look at verse 11. He says, for thy name's sake, O Lord. Here's what he's asking. He says, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. You know, David is asking to withstand. He's asking the Lord to help him survive this. And he's already made a declaration earlier in the psalm that it's not his fault. Like he's saying, they're attacking me without a cause. But what's interesting about David is, though in this instance he's saying, they are attacking me without without a cause, and though in this instance it's not my fault, David says, it's not my fault, but that doesn't mean that I'm not without fault. He says, this attack is not my fault. This attack is not something, this is just because of you and because of the fighting of the Lord and the cause of the Lord. Lord, they're fighting me without a cause. But then he says, I know that I'm a sinner. Remember not the sins of my youth. He says, pardon mine iniquities, for it is great. And you know, in times of trouble, instead of pointing the finger and getting mad at others, what you ought to be doing is getting right with God. You say, but I don't deserve it. I don't deserve what they've done to me. I don't deserve what they've said about me. I don't deserve this attack. But you know what? You and I are sinners, period, end of story, and we can always draw closer to God. We can always ask for forgiveness and ask for pardon. He says, pardon mine iniquity, Lord, for it is great. In Psalm 79 and verse 9, he says this, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge us away our sins for thy name's sake. And I'm saying to you, in times of trouble, whether it's your fault or not, you ought to just get right with God. It's always a good day to confess your sins to God. It's always a good day to claim, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that there's a God that forgives? And you can go to him and ask for forgiveness. And we see that David, he's going to ask the Lord to help him withstand. But before he does that, he says, pardon, Lord. Forgive me. And then he says, protect me. He says, pardon and forgive. And then he says, protect and fight. Pardon me, forgive me, protect me, and fight on my behalf. Look at verse 15. He said, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me. David is asking God. He says, I want you to look at me, God. I need your attention. I need you to look in my direction. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. And here's the request. He says, oh, bring thou me out of my distress.
He says, look upon me. David is teaching us how to pray during times of trouble. He says, look upon mine affliction and my pain. And then he says, and forgive all my sins. See, during these times of difficulty, David is asking for the mercy of God. And it reminds me of 2 Samuel 16. You don't have to turn there. But when David is running from his son Absalom, and if you remember, Shimei comes cursing, and they say, let us deal with this, let us cut off his head, let us kill him and get rid of him. And David says in 2 Samuel 16:12, he says, it may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And you know, sometimes what we can do during times of trouble is say, Lord, would you look upon mine affliction and my pain? Would you forgive all my sin? Would you requite me good for his cursing, for her cursing, for their attack? Because Shimei was attacking David, may I remind you, without a cause. In Psalm 25 and verse 19, he says this. This is David speaking to God. He says, consider mine enemies. He says, Lord, I want you to consider mine enemies. And look, I'm not putting, in any way, shape, or form, am I putting myself on the level of David? But sometimes I feel like this. He says, for they are many. Sometimes I look at my wife and I'm thinking to myself, like, how did we end up with so many enemies? Consider mine enemies, but we're in good company, because David was a man after God's own heart, and he said, consider mine enemies, for they are many. He says, they that hate me with cruel hatred. He says, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Notice, he circles back. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. He says, Lord, help me during this time of trouble to not only win, but to wait and to walk with you and to walk with integrity and to walk with uprightness. He says, for I wait on thee. And then in verse 22, he does something that's a little unique to this psalm. It's not something that's done commonly in the Psalms. But he is talking about, in the Bible, there's the man Israel and there's the nation Israel. Of course, the nation of Israel are descendants of the man Israel. And here he's talking about the nation, but he personifies him as the man. Psalm 25, verse 22, he says, redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. And I'm here to tell you that during times of trouble, God has given us this map to show us what to do, how to pray. It's okay to pray, Lord, help me win. As long as you're willing to say, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. And we ought to pray, Lord, help me to wait. And help me not to do anything stupid. Help me to wait on you. And Lord, while I'm waiting on you, let me wait on you. And Lord, help me to walk. Because sometimes the best way to get to know God is during the times of trial in that fiery furnace. And then, of course, Lord, help me to withstand. Pardon and protect. Forgive me. And Lord, fight for me. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we thank you for this great psalm. And I don't know that it applies to everybody all the time. But I know this, that we all go through times of trouble. And the truth is that we're either in trouble now, or we're coming out of trouble, or we're going into trouble. And when we find ourselves in these storms of life, Lord, help us to remember these thoughts. Help us to remember these lessons. In the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.